Broadly Speaking, a history and stories of the French Broad River Valley. We have many accomplished authors in Western North Carolina. I was fortunate to be introduced to Craig Grayley, author of Parry, P-A-R-I. Craig is currently completing a new book about the early developments in Brevard, which is why we spoke. Craig lives with his wife in Pisgah Forest and is a retired senior executive from the CIA, where he was a chief speech writer. It is easy to understand why he was a speech writer after you read his publications. Those of us that grew up here know Parry as a NASA tracking station in Rosman. Mr. Grayley's book tells us just how shallow that observation is. Indeed, NASA was tracking and communicating with satellites and astronauts. What I didn't know was the depth and accuracy of their observations. For example, these huge satellite dishes can pick up a low-watt signal from a distance of 800,000 miles away. This is like picking up a child's nightlight from a distance of 3 times to the moon. The site of Rosman was chosen because of its remote location, clear of power lines, radio towers, and air traffic. The site chosen sits in a bowl-shaped depression and is a certified International Dark Sky Park, one of only 120 in the world. The site is within the Pisgah National Forest owned by the U.S. Forestry Service. NASA was able to acquire this property of nearly 1 square mile for free. The land was initially surveyed in 1961, ground was broken in 1962, dedicated in October of 1963, and was operational in late 64 in time to track and communicate with the astronauts. This facility enabled breakthroughs in technology, weather protection, cellular communications, GPS, and satellite television. The first transatlantic cable was laid between Canada and Scotland in 1956, and these satellite dishes expanded communications exponentially. As the United States progressed towards the moon landing of Apollo 11, scientific information was needed before we could hope to land men on the moon and safely return them to Earth. Rosman's tracking center was front and center on this research. The main communicating satellite dishes were 2 85-foot diameter dishes standing 120 feet tall, weighing 325 tons each. Ultimately, on the property, there would be 23 major communication satellites with 260 employees. The Department of Defense took ownership of these dishes in 1982 as tensions increased with the Soviet Union. The satellite dishes were repurposed to collect secret communications of foreign adversaries. The Coast Guard likely used them to collect useful information to keep narcotics from entering the United States borders. One thing that astonished me is that due to elliptical orbits of application technology satellites, these satellites can virtually hover above a fixed designated location, yet cover up to 45% of the globe. Thus, the reason the Defense Department, NSA, which is National Security Agency, and the CIA became the second owner after NASA. The National Security Agency still remains closed-mouthed about Rosman's specific role and successes. In Mr. Grayley's book, he frequently uses terms probably, potentially, and likely. Terms well known to the U.S. intelligence community because the terms are a recognized degree of probability of a statement. Interestingly, the Soviets also installed a similar collection center called Lourdes in Cuba on the same longitude as Rosman, 82 degrees west longitude. This was the largest intelligence collection site of the USSR and is located near Havana, Cuba, 831 miles due south of Rosman. Interception of communications cut both ways during the Cold War. The Rosman facility also housed the final stopping point for all secret documents in Building 14, called the Shredder Building. The Associated Press called the Rosman facility one of the fabulous facilities of this space age. As a result of the U.S.-USSR Strategic Arms Reduction Talks Treaty signed in 1991 between George H.W. Bush and Mikhail Gorbachev, the Department of Defense would abandon the facility in September of 1995, leading to the third chapter of the ownership called PERI, which stands for Pisgah Astronomical Research Institute. PERI was recognized as a dark sky park and would evolve into an instrument for education. Camps for gifted future astronomers would visit here, and universities could book time with these incredible instruments. There had been extraordinary redundancy in standby power and backup, in fear of losing communications at critical moments. Generators and backup generators had the electrical capacity to run 200 three-bedroom houses simultaneously. This redundancy was no longer needed, and of the 23 major dishes, 19 were dismantled. The property is once again for sale, but certain covenants remain since the property was originally owned by the U.S. Forestry Service. We want to thank Mr. Grayley for revealing as much as he was allowed and hope that new opportunities await this incredibly important advancement in technology. So thank you for joining us today on Broadly Speaking, A History and Stories of the French Broad River Valley.
To listen to this episode of Broadly Speaking again, or other episodes, go to WTZQ.com, click on Features, and scroll down to Broadly Speaking. Or download the WTZQ app and click Podcasts at the bottom of the screen. Broadly Speaking, A History and Stories from the French Broad River Valley. Brought to you by Penny Insurance. Protecting what matters most for over 95 years.